topics. All right, we are back in our Thursday night series of messages on disciples. What does it mean, the dynamics of a disciple? There's actually more than this one. We'll finish this one up in a few weeks. Have a few more points to go with it. But we've been looking at the fact that a disciple is one who follows. Understanding a disciple is someone who serves or follows God on a higher level. They're not just saved, they are dedicated to Him. And so last week we looked at disciples, our followers, even of hard truth. Tonight we'll probably get two of them in. Let's look at number seven. And this is a no-brainer. Disciples are followers who seek others. Disciples are followers who seek others. John chapter 1, verse 40 to 42. One of the two which heard Jesus speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and Jesus beheld him. He said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation, a stone. And so in this story, we see Andrew here, who had started following Jesus. He had been reached, and he immediately got a burden for others, particularly in first he had a burden for was his brother. And so he goes and finds his brother and says, we found him. We found the one who's the Messiah. And he takes him to Jesus. Of course, we know who Peter is, and Peter trusts the Lord. I'm getting ahead of myself, but Jesus told them, follow me and I will make you what? Fishers of men. And so if we're going to follow Jesus, we must really be a part of seeking others. In a very practical sense, this is why we're left on this earth. If we're not here as Christians to live our lives for others, it'd just be better off if we were in heaven. If you trusted Christ and you were immediately raptured, okay? I wonder what that would be. You have pre, post, mid, pre-wrath, post-toasties. I got all these different ones. I don't know what that one would be, post-salvation. But we're down here for a reason. Now, we talk a lot and we preach a lot about how the Lord wants to work in our lives, and He does work in our lives, and He makes things better and helps our relationships and all that. But the fact of the matter is, the main thing, the purpose, reason we're here is to fulfill His purpose on this earth, reaching others for Jesus Christ. And by the way, the reason this is important is because this is what this church needs to be. The fact of the matter is, this is what every church needs to be. Now, I enjoy all the other aspects of it. I enjoy fellowship. We do all the fellowships in the summer. We ended the last fellowship on Friday night with the deaf ministry was at our house. By the way, by far and away, the quietest group, okay? But we had a good time and we played a game, and I enjoy that, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's part of being a Christian. But the fact of the matter is, the main thrust of our lives, the main thrust of our church, the main purpose that God has for us is to reach people with the gospel. If not, Brother Tongdi and his family are wasting their lives. Yeah. Just be honest with you. They're wasting your life, Brother Tongdi. Okay. Now, when your wife married you, I told you she was wasting her, but that was a different story. Just kidding. But you know, someone like Brother Hawking, 57 years in Africa. If it's not about following God and reaching people, he wasted his life, his entire life. But he didn't. He was right in the center of God's will, doing what God wanted him to do. You say, does that mean I need to go to Africa? Well, if God's called you, go. Does that mean I need to go to Laos? Brother Tongdi will tell you yes, okay? There's no question there. Ask him. The answer is just yes up front. By the way, Brother Tongdi will not be, you teaching English in the college? Good, good. You can teach it to people that don't know English, but I'm not going to be teaching English either. Listen, that's what we got to be doing. Now, you're maybe not called to be in Laos. You're maybe not called to go to the Philippines. You're maybe not called to go to China, wherever. But you are called wherever God has you to reach people for Jesus Christ. Just that God's going to tap on some of your shoulders and say, I want you to go there and do it. But we need to be doing it. We're not following simply for our own good, although you say 3 weeks ago your point was serving, following the Lord has benefits. It does. But all of that's wrapped up in purpose. And he wants us to reach people for Jesus Christ. When we're truly following Jesus, we will be zealous about sharing him with others. True commitment in following Christ requires true commitment to follow his purpose for the church and Christians. And I'm thankful for a church that loves the bus ministry. That's an outreach ministry. By the way, some churches don't like that. We don't want those kids in our church. We love kids. So we're supposed to love only our own? Okay? We love them all. Well, when we get in the new building, they won't be allowed there, will they? Come on, get real. And by the way, your kids aren't saints either. Can I get a witness? Your kids make messes just like every kid in the universe makes a mess. And by the way, so do the teenagers. Okay? You know, that's just, it is what it is. By the way, kids and teenagers, pick up your message. That'll help us out a lot. Thank you. But listen, it's an outreach ministry, and we ought to be reaching out to people. Amen. We ought to be getting the gospel to everybody we can, everywhere we can, every opportunity we get. Why did Jesus come to this earth? Luke 19:10, it's there in your paper. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why he came. You think the God of creation, you got to know your doctrine here. The God of creation became man, became flesh. Why would, you know, that's why I always say I wouldn't be a good Mormon, because they believe they're going to be a God and have a planet, and the people on my planet would be tortured. Yeah. It just wouldn't work. Oh, you don't want to listen? You want to blaspheme my name? It wouldn't work very well. But God loved us that he became one of us. So that he, because he was God, would live a perfect life and die for our sins so we can be saved from our sins. That's his purpose. Do you think if that was God's whole purpose in coming to this earth, that maybe that's the purpose for which he wants us to be involved? Sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with others? I think so. Well, let me give you a couple thoughts. This is not something that is hidden. It's very clear in the Bible. Why? Because he loves the world. John 3, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I know that. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That is the ultimate expression of God's love for us, that he would die for us. He would come to this earth, that Jesus Christ would die for our sins. You know, so often when we talk about sin, or you preach, oh, you're being condemning. No, God wants us to know our sin so we know how bad it is, so he can work on us to first get saved, and second, work on it in our life so we can live a life that's pleasing to him. Because he loves the world. Next, because he provided the way. But Romans 5:8, but God commendeth, that word means proved, but God commendeth, proved his love toward us. How did God prove his love? In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, God provided for a way for us to be able to have our sin dealt with. Because God is just. In other words, God says, he's not like our judicial system. They let so much go. The fact of the matter is, some things they don't even bother to go after people. They just let it go. God's just. If he makes a law, God must enforce the law. And then as he enforces it, then we must pay. It must be paid for. But God's love for us said, I'll tell you what, I'll pay your price. It's God's love. It's what we're sharing to people. He provided the way. Because he desires all to receive him. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. But is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. By the way, And most of you won't know this, but some of you that maybe are a little more mature, there's a thing that spreads in more liberal aspects of Christianity called Calvinism. Okay, Calvinism is the belief that God chooses some who are going to be saved, and God chooses others who will not get saved. In other words, we don't have a choice in the matter. So if God goes to Brother Rawl and says, you're chosen to get saved, you have no choice in it. I have no deal. You're going to get saved someday. And if God goes to your wife and says, Marianne, I've not chosen you, you're going to hell. There's nothing you can do about it. Doesn't do any good to witness to you. There's a word, a theological word I like to use for that type of belief. It's stupid. God loved the world. Would he love the world? Now, by the way, if Christ would have never died for us, we would have got exactly what to deserve. Hell. Okay? God was very gracious. But he gives us an opportunity because he loves us and he died for us. If that's true, then he didn't die for the world. He died for the elect. By the way, that's not what elect means. That's not what predestination means. Predestination means we're saved and God has a predetermined destination for us. Okay? And God has his foreknowledge. He knows who's getting saved. But we have free will. And God's not willing that any should perish. He wants everybody. Now, is everybody going to get saved? Nope, because you have free will. You can choose. If you go to hell, and I trust that none of you in here, you're at church on a Thursday night, I trust that none of you do, but if a person goes to hell, they chose to go there. Right. Well, I don't want to have anything to do with a God that would send someone to hell. He doesn't send anybody to hell. You're trespassing if you go. Fact of the matter is, he provided a way out. It's just how you want to look at it. God provided a way out. Thank God for that. Now, this is something he made abundantly clear. Jesus made that clear when he called Peter and Andrew. Here we go. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. That's clear. When we used to do the Operation Go. I knew if I stuttered long enough, it'd come to me. Operation Go. You know what did they say about this verse? If you follow Jesus, will you catch men? That's what he says right here, right? Yes. So, and then he asked this question. I'm not asking it. I'm not being condemning, but you can ask yourself. If you're not catching men, are you really following Jesus? You're following him a little, but you're not following him to the extent that he wants you to. Because he wants us to reach people. He wants us to catch men. He made it clear to his followers before he left this earth. We know this great commission, as we call it, these verses, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. He says, I want you to go everywhere and tell everybody, and then after you win them, teach them and train them after you baptize them, so that one day they'll be able to go and tell other people of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon ye, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Now, I think a secondary teaching there, the primary use of God's power in our life is to reach people with the gospel. And he packs the power in the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation, as he told us in Romans. After that, the Holy Ghost, ye shall be witnesses unto me, both, means simultaneously, in Jerusalem, where they were, and Judea, a little farther out, and Samaria, a little farther out, and unto the uttermost part of the world. Let's just cover everything, okay? That's like here, there, everywhere. So that's what God wants. That's what Jesus said. This is why you're here. The Holy Ghost will come. He will help you. By the way, that's why we don't win people. Now we say that I won somebody to Christ, okay? And I get that. We share the gospel, and as we share the gospel and seek to be an effective witness, the Spirit of God will convict them of their need for Christ. If you got saved, I remember when I got witnessed to, I was under conviction. I knew what I was being told was right, and I rejected it a few times. I knew it was right. And after I walked away and they weren't talking to me anymore, somebody else was talking to me, the Spirit of God. Okay? But that's, Jesus made that very clear. It's something that is important and a big deal. It is also clear that there is more. I want to give this, and I'll give you a few thoughts, and we'll go to the next point. It is also clear that there is more to this, winning the world, sharing the gospel, than just sharing the gospel to lead someone to Christ. We must also teach them. That's a theme. We don't just win someone to Christ, say, I'm glad you're born, I'm moving on with my life. I heard someone say they talk a lot about soul winning, but they say their follow-up plan is, well, their address to the church is on the back of the track. By the way, spiritual laziness. You know, it's like I had a baby, and I'm like, well, the kid's going to survive or not. Food's in the fridge. Okay, kid can't make it to the fridge. People need encouragement. By the way, if you're serving God at all, if you've grown at all in your faith, and you're honest, and you look back, somebody helps you. Even the idiots that say that they don't have to follow up on people, we just win the gospel, we move on, someone helped them. Okay? We're not, isn't that part of the Great Commission, Brother Tongi? We're not supposed to just win them, we're supposed to teach them. To observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. We like the Great Commission, but we stop at point one. You know, go into all the world. Okay, I get you. I'm on board. I give heavily to that. But also, we're supposed to teach them to observe all things whatsoever he's commanded them. He wants them to grow. Hey, if you believe that the Christian life is the greatest life in the world, why wouldn't you want someone else to have that?
Come on.
Huh? You ever notice sometimes the Krispy Kreme donuts will be giving away a dozen donuts or something, you know, blah, blah, blah. And everybody gets on their Instagram account and, hey, you can get free donuts. It's National Hot Dog Day. It's National, you know, it's 31 flavors. It's our anniversary, and the line is like 31 miles. Okay, I would rather wait. I would rather not have a line and pay $5 for overpriced ice cream than wait 31 miles. I mean, come on. But everybody's like, you get free. And by the way, tell us. You know, we'll go get the free stuff. Brother Machado, I haven't eaten there forever, but he used to give me, I guess I'm white, okay? I like hot dogs. You say, what are they made out of? Don't tell me, because I want them. I don't want to know, because I'm going to eat them. And if you throw chili on them, I'm really happy. And if you go Chicago style with pickles and tomatoes and all that other stuff and the bun with all the little seeds on it, I'm in heaven. Okay, so, but you know, he used to bring me the Wiener Schnitzel. Now I'm like, that's horrible. It's like the McDonald's of hot dogs. I know, but I can't help myself. I just can't. Praise God for keto. I can't eat there anymore. Isn't that just natural in us? We got something free. We got something good. Tell everybody about it. What about the gospel? See, you sit in church, and I'm not getting on you, please. I'm trying to make a point. You sit in church, and it's like, I love church. I love being a Christian. I love my family. And you got people at your work you won't even talk to. I talk to people at work. I've witnessed to Brother Ross so many times. He just won't get saved. Okay? But do we really care? And I know sometimes but we can find a time. Okay. But the point is, after they're saved now, we want to help them grow. How do we do this? This helped many of us to grow in our faith. Look at 2 Timothy 3:14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Paul's saying, hey, Tim. He could call him Tim. He goes, Tim, keep going in those things that I taught you, because you know who you learned them from. And you know what he's saying, they're the right things, and you know it's the truth. Tim, keep going in those things that you learned. How did he learn them? Because someone taught him. Someone helped him with that. It'd be such a blessing if we help those that are new. By the way, this is what we do at church. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. We know we're supposed to be to church. He says, why? And let us consider one another to provoke, to promote, to push, to prod in a nice way, unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner, but exhorting one another. One of the things about church is it gives us an opportunity to exhort, encourage each other in the faith. That is very important. And I understand we come and the biggest part of the service you're sitting, but there are so many opportunities for you to be a blessing and encouragement and a help to somebody, and you miss out when you're not a part of that. I mean, it's a blessing to be helped, but it's a greater blessing to help somebody else. It's a blessing for someone to encourage you. And by the way, there's been times I've been encouraged by people at church. But it's a far greater blessing when you're the one that's the encourager, okay? No, you discourage me. Huge difference. A couple extra letters on the front. This is what we do with converts. Now listen, the things that thou hast heard, this is Paul, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach other also. We've taught this. Paul says, I've told you, Timothy, and you're going to tell faithful men who are growing so that they'll be able to teach others also. That's four spiritual generations. We talk about multi-generational vision, right? We want our children to serve the Lord. And now as I'm a little bit older, grandchildren. Okay? Grandchildren are a reward for putting up with your own, I guess. And you want it to continue to go on. Spiritually speaking, we do the same thing, but you think of it this way. It goes faster. I had to wait. You know, we didn't have our first child, and then 5 years later, a grandchild. That wasn't going to happen. Okay? And now they're like rabbits. They're just multiplying everywhere. But you have to wait. You know, you can win some of the Lord and train them, and 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 months down the road, some even sooner, they're already bringing people in. It's a really neat thing when that happens. Let's see. This is what we do with what we've learned. Ezra, I love this verse in Ezra. He was a scribe. He said, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek of the law of the Lord and to do it. We'll stop there for a minute. So here's the thing. Ezra's heart was, I want to learn the scripture. And he learned the scripture. He said, now I'm going to obey the scripture. And he obeyed the scripture. Then what happened next? He said, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. That was the last part. He said, I want to learn it. My heart is, I need it. And now when I'm learning it, I'm going to obey it. And now that I've learned it and I'm obeying some of it, none of us are perfect. We're always on our way, right? So don't, you know, I have to be perfect before I can teach. No, if you learn something that's working in your life, help somebody else out. But he says, now I can teach it. What are you doing with what you're learning? What am I doing with what I'm learning? Let's try to encourage and help others. Very important. As a person who says they're a follower of Christ, if you say that about yourself, ask yourself these questions. Ready? Are you catching men with the gospel? Or women. Okay, we're not being sexist here. I'm not being woke either. But are we catching people with the gospel? Okay, are we doing it? Are we trying to spread it? I appreciate our teenagers. Not all of them know how to soul win. They go out on Thursdays, and some of them know. The younger ones will catch it. You say, oh, how proficient. Listen, it's not that hard a story to tell. Okay? And the gospel is what convicts people. But also this, are you teaching truth to faithful men? Have you, is there somebody that maybe in your Sunday school class or you won them to Christ and you try to personally encourage them in some way? Maybe you get their cell phone number and you text them, hey, how was it today? And hope to see you at church tomorrow. And you come in and you'll do some of the things I'll suggest in a minute. But we want to be able to do that. That we call that discipling. Discipling is not just a class we have on Thursday nights. Fact of the matter is, discipling takes place everywhere. I don't know how many times I've went out to eat with someone or went out to coffee with someone new in the church, and they'll ask questions. Now, I've done discipleship with people at a coffee place on many occasions, but, you know, I'll sit there. They have questions about the Christian life or this or that, and we'll talk about it, and that's discipleship, to be honest with you. Okay? It's just when you're trying to encourage somebody. Now, maybe somebody God will knit your heart to. And they may see you as somebody that's, because you've been in church or saved longer, they'll see you as a little bit more of a, the word high, you're not high, but higher or up or where they strive to be. They see you a little farther down the road. How about that? And you can help them get there and you can encourage them. Jesus spent 3 years training his men, preparing them for when he would be gone. You realize this, Jesus preached the gospel. Crowds came, people got saved, but you know what his You know what his main, other than dying for our sins, you know what his main ministry was to people on this earth? It was to his disciples. Because he knew when he left this earth, they were the ones that were going to get the church going. They were the ones that were going to, and they did. In fact, they turned the world upside down. He said, well, 3 years, and he had 11 people that were solid. Now, there was a few others on the outside. I get it. But really, his core were those 11 guys. In 3 years, that's it? How many days later was it 5,000 or 3,000? 50 days after Peter was cursing them out? I mean, and the Lord was adding daily to the church. I think it was worth it for him to train them. Should we not do the same? I said I was going to do 2 points tonight, but I didn't lie. The clock went a little bit faster. They put a new battery in, and it's really going fast. So let me just give you a few thoughts, okay? How can you be involved as a follower of Christ with going after other people? Are you ready? Just these are common sense things. Go soul winning and learn how to win people to Christ. Amen. There you go.
Yes, sir.
That's it. You say, I don't know how. No, there is nothing wrong with that. Unless that continues. What are you doing to learn? I mean, I went out with people, but to be honest with you, when I didn't know what to do, I had someone give me the outline, and I cut the outline, you know, the points and the scriptures to use, and I cut it and I taped it on the inside of a New Testament. And when I witnessed to people, I'm like, okay, I'd flip to the back of my New Testament. Well, it says here you're a sinner, and I'd flip to the verse and talk to them a little bit. You're on your way to hell. Not like that. I was a little more, you know, I'd heard some people talk. But just so I knew it and I didn't forget, it was, I wanted to find a way to be involved, okay? And so you say, but I might mess it up for somebody. How do you mess it up? If someone doesn't know Jesus Christ, we know where they're headed, right? So if you go and talk to them and maybe you don't answer all the questions, they're still going there. And by the way, all you do is if they have a question, say, you know what? If you don't know the answer, say, I don't know that, but I'll find out. I'll do some checking for you. Okay, it's not that hard.
Yep.
Next, follow up with people you win. I don't know what their names are. Follow up with people you win. You don't have to do this, but I'll talk to people sometime. I'll give my cell phone number. I figure I can block them later, right? You know. It's like, yeah, hey, you ought to come to church. Here's my cell phone number. Now, some of them, you know, they'll give me theirs, and I'll text them back, and they're like, you know, they don't answer. It's like, okay, they change their heart or whatever. But sometimes a good prospect, hey, can I text, hey, I hope to see you, you know, whatever. Let's follow up on them. You say, wait a minute, I turned the card in after Tuesday soul winning. Thank you. But did you notice the card has two identical ones so you can follow up on them? Listen, I've had people before, they'll turn in a card. Hey, I got a good prospect, and I went by there, and they're like, I don't want to criticize your brother, Brother Pichardo. He gave me a guy and said, listen, this guy is a white guy. He's not going to come to the field. I've talked to him. You got to go talk to him. He's a good prospect. Yeah, I told him. Yeah, okay. So I remember on a Tuesday night, he was out in Lakewood. Me and I think it was Brian Barolo. We went to see him. I knocked on the guy's door. And he goes, listen, I told that other guy I'm not coming. Like, okay. I said, okay, I'll let them know that you said that. So I went back. I said, hey, Pastor Pichardo, the guy said he wants you to come visit him again. Okay, I'm just kidding. Say, did you go back? Nope, didn't go back. But hey, what are you going to do? Try to get him to church. Just, hey, you got to come to church. Now, okay, you got saved now. Now, you know, there's a lot you got to do in your life. You're going to have to give up. Don't scare them. Okay. Get them to church. First step. That's where they're going to meet and be able to grow. Befriend them and help them in the faith. Befriend them and help them with the faith, in the faith. Without a spiritual guide, people rarely make it. Now, I'll be honest with you. I was a bit different. When I got right with God, I was kind of in a, you know, I should have really been in the kind of the teen group, but I dropped out of high school, and I really wasn't in the college and career group, so I wasn't in a group. And I went to church 6 months by myself. I just show up to everything. I didn't really have anybody latch on to me, and then finally the assistant pastor kind of started encouraging me. Okay? Let's make sure someone gets someone to encourage them. Okay? Get them a Bible and encourage them to grow. Hey, someone gets saved and they come and they're interested. We ought to buy them a Bible. They're not that expensive. In fact, the table's out tonight. Okay? And you don't, look, you don't have to buy them a $55 Thompson chain. You know, you don't have to get them the $5 kids Bible either, okay? There's a nice little Bible to get them started. I don't know how many Bibles I've given away. Pray for them. Put them on your list. That would help. Lord, I pray for this person. Now, they may come to a time when they're not interested in coming to church or whatever. It's fine. And then, if someone's coming, get them into our discipleship class on Thursday nights with someone from your Sunday school class. Be honest with you, if you've been a Christian for a while, I would want to make it my goal so I could take someone through discipleship class. If you're here and you're a regular, you've been through discipleship, okay? The point is, if we're going to follow Jesus, let's really love other people. The two greatest commands are love God and love others. The greatest love we can show somebody is to share the gospel. And then after they, when they trust Christ, can we care about them and help them in their faith, which is very important. Okay, let's pray.